And I heard him say, turn the lights on, turn the lights on. I said, no, keep them off. And I said, why do you want me to turn the lights on? He said, I feel God. To me, come on, people.
Goodness gracious, that's money. Yo, welcome to Funny How Life Works, where we use funny to help you understand how life works. Boom. My co-host today, who does the most, I say, his happens to be Kyle Ray.
Yo.
His name happens to be Kyle Ray, the pastor of a place that I went to yesterday.
Pastor Church.
Kyle, Pacal, Scent Church, super excited about Scent Church. Doing some great stuff. The thing is growing too, yo.
It is.
Like it's really growing.
It is growing.
It's dope. I'm excited. Man. It's growing. Like, yeah. It's great, man.
Come on.
And you're there.
I know. Imagine that.
Like those two things together, you weren't like, I don't know, man. So, wow. I'm excited. We have an awesome guest today. Really excited about this guest. This guest has been a coach to some significant people in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And like some big people, some big names that you would know. Like what are some of the names?
Well, Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Will Smith. He's had encounters with the Mike artist formerly
Tyson.
Known.
Oh, yeah. And Prince.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Evander Holyfield. A lot of cats in a big way, man. Michael Jr.
Oh yeah, he has invested in your life.
No, from he hasn't invested. Like, you know, there's been no investment.
Yeah,
except for encouragement. But what he said on his podcast, I'm excited to see what he might say to me in his podcast
too. Yeah, yep. So,
but we have a non-sponsor.
Yeah, today's
non-sponsor is Funny But Forgotten.
Ah,
yes,
I've heard of that one.
Where we take comedy and make it commonplace in those uncommon places like prisons and abused children's facilities. So go to funnyfortheforgotten.com if you want to help us out. If you want to donate,
hey,
by
man,
all means, go to funnyfortheforgotten.com.
You know my son Malik is in a hard place.
Yeah.
He's in prison.
Yeah.
He was telling me the other day he was disappointed in the distribution of justice inside the prison. He's like, Dad, you know people make liquor in here, right? I was like, oh, they do, like moonshine. He's like, yeah, man, the guards came and they shook down all the cells. You know, they only took the liquor from the black inmates and didn't take any from the white inmates. Yeah, I was like, really, son? What an atrocity. And he couldn't quite see how the making of the liquor might have been wrong. In the first place.
Just that was wrong. In fact, could that not help? Because now you're not, well, I don't.
I mean, yeah.
Anyway, so Funny For the Forgotten, you should check it out.
It's good.
funnyfortheforgotten.com. Boom. But we got a guest though. People need to subscribe, leave a review.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at your website. It looked like Spider-Man got shrunk down.
It looked like, because I got
into
powers.
Into the quantum verse.
That's funny. That's hilarious. Anyway, that's enough. Introduce our guest, please.
Our guest today has coached so many people. He's known as the comeback coach.
Iron Man.
He did, man.
He coached Iron Doggone Man. You guys remember when Robert Downey Jr. had his breakdown before he was Iron Man and Hollywood said he was through? Like he was done. No more career. No, you wouldn't even know who Mr. Doolittle. Well, that film wasn't that great. But you wouldn't even know Iron Man as he is. Iron Man could have been somebody different. It probably would have been Luther Rigno. No, let's not do that. What's another actor it could have been?
It could have been
Sammy Davis, not alive.
Lou Diamond Phil.
I don't know. But it wouldn't have
been that dude Johnny Depp.
They told him he would not be anything. They told him he wasn't going to make his career was done. This guy, our guest, steps in, has a conversation with him, starts coaching him, and I'm not going to say it was exactly what took. I'm not going to give you the details because I don't really know him. But the next thing that happens is he books a movie called Iron Man.
Iron Man. Give it up today for our guest, Tim Story.
Okay.
I love this podcast.
You'll be laughing out loud and all of a sudden, boom, something that can really help you drops in your lap.
I like it because I unexpectedly learn about life.
It is so funny.
I get to laugh and learn about life at the same time.
I like listening to Funny How Life Works with the car of my parents.
With the car and my parents? Okay.
With no further ado, I'm going to just introduce our guest right now. This dude is brilliant at telling his last name.
Yes.
He's a phenomenal, phenomenal storyteller. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for my man, Mr. Tim Story.
Yeah.
Wow.
What Welcome a privilege.
Back. Welcome back.
You're what at a the, privilege.
You're at the Beverly Hills Hilton. And if I recall, you're in the room where a few celebrities have passed away. Is that correct? Nobody know if they're in the room. It's hilarious. It's a little chalk outline on that curtain behind you. I don't know if you saw it or not.
All I know is some nasty stuff is probably happening around the
city. Just get a black light. Just get a black
light. Don't get a black light. That's the last thing you want.
This is where they had all the big Grammy parties. So who knows what some nastiness happened. So I prayed it away. I didn't sage it away.
Yeah, that's right.
Some people sage.
Shoot.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, in the R. Kelly room. Anyway, Tim.
That's hilarious.
You told us lots of great stories last time, but there was a story.
So just to recap, this guy is a coach to coaches, really. Mm-hmm. There's people who are coaching millions of people, whether they realize it or not, through their gifts and their talents. They're coaching millions of people. This is the dude who coaches them and helps them get to a better place so they could really represent in a big way. Like, he's doing he's doing significant
work. You did that good.
He's hitting, he's doing
You did that good. And can I tell you why I'm doing that is I felt like Les Brown and I are very close. You guys may be close.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've never met him before. Good stuff, though, man.
And so Les's whole thing to me was like, hey, Tim, we got to start training up this new generation because so much is coming at us. So I now have a whole new coaching system that you could actually go through my online class, which is very, very good.
Nice.
Cost me about $90,000 to put together, and it's very inexpensive. So if you guys want to find out more about it, just go to timstory.com or hit me up on Instagram. You can learn how to be a coach. I teach you, and I even give you the curriculum on how to coach people. Because I think that everybody's a coach. And as a pastor, there's no doubt about it, you're coaching.
He was pointing at you, man.
And, everybody's a coach. So they can get that, and I'll make the price very affordable just because I love people.
Wow.
But I love coaching people. But we gotta say something about this phone of mine and all the phone numbers in it.
That phone is some
Michael over here starting rumors.
But you're gonna love this story, right? Uh-huh. So I leave my phone in the Houston Hobby Airport. But you know when you know you love something but you don't know what it is?
Yeah, I remember that time. I was like, man, where Kevin? It was one of my kids. It was gone. It was missing. I remember having that too, but it was 3 weeks
Kevin
later,
was
though.
Missing.
Home Alone.
Yes. Home Alone, because Home Alone was Kevin, too, in the movie. But that was white Kevin.
That's why I left him. That was my kid. That's why I'm just playing. That's not true. Okay, so.
So I leave my phone at the Houston airport. Mm-hmm. This guy finds my phone. And so my assistant called. I had him just keep calling. The gentleman answers. And he says, I've looked through the phone, and I know whose phone this is. Mm-hmm. And he said, it has all these celebrities' names in it. And so at this point, I was on the phone. And I said, how much is this going to cost me? Because I'm a bit of an actor. And he said, it's going to cost you $100, which was not a lot of money.
That's not
so
even
I asked, I acted aghast. I went, what? He goes, that's right. $100. I said, what? And he says, and I want it now. So guys, I'm not even joking. I had to call a friend from Houston, meet him at the airport, give the man the $100
for the
steak for my phone.
Oh, wow.
Just trust me, I would have paid a lot more.
Yeah.
Than $100.
Wow. He must have saw the C-list celebrities and like, $100. Most of these.
How about you name some?
He didn't see some of the big names. That brother would have asked for $100?
So Tim,
$100, he was excited about that $100.
That's right.
But he should have been thinking it through, Maybe he should have called a friend, phoned a friend to find out that he could have got more money.
For real? He could have called one of your friends that got more money than that.
That's right.
Hey, Beyonce, I got Tim's phone, and you from Houston.
Exactly.
So where can I drop this thing off at?
Wow. You got a question.
So I've had a question for you since the last episode. Obviously, you're a pastor, you're a speaker, you're a coach. I remember listening to John Maxwell talk about the time where he knew that his ministry was broader than the local church, that the local church was one platform for speaking, but he was seeing more people come to faith in Christ and more lives change through his business seminars. And so he went broader and leadership stuff blew up. How did you come to a place where you realized that platform needed to be bigger? And what do you say to pastors that may be restricting their gifts to just the local church? Not everybody's called to be multi-platform, but I'm curious.
Yeah. So I am a big advocate of local church because, you know, when we were raised in Compton as kids, lower income, seven people in a 2-bedroom apartment, church was very important to us. That was like a place to go and get hope and get taught and grow. And so the church world really did bring my parents up and out. So I'm a big advocate of the local church. And even when I'm on vacation, I go to church. But what I also think is that there are some of us, not all of us, that have a unique calling. So Ephesians 4:1 says, walk worthy of the calling you've received. Mm-hmm. Mm. So all three of us on this podcast, we have received a number one specific calling, but also a unique calling. Mm. And that's the challenge with ministry, is that there's not enough uniqueness in the ministry where someone says, hey, I could be my own unique self. And I could be funny because I'm funny. I could be creative because I'm creative. I could write books. I could do paintings. I could do Netflix specials. I could do my own movies. So for me, the local church is very, very paramount, but I do believe in the idea of the church without walls, but not in lieu of local church. I'm still a big local church person, but I definitely have the keys to people outside of the local churches, and I love to go beyond those boundaries.
Here's the thing, man. As you were speaking, I was imagining, because there's some movies out there that are not great as far as people consuming them. There's some things that celebrities might do that people would say aren't great. But I just imagine in my mind for a second, the movie that takes place if you weren't speaking into the lives of some of those people. I imagine the dialogue of that film if Tim wasn't in the backdrop encouraging that person to walk towards God. Like, how much?
I mean, that's a real story. I'm doing a movie right now where I'm a producer with one of our two biggest actors in the world. And I would say that if I was not involved, this movie's going to go a different road and going down a different lane. I can remember when Kanye said to me, and Kanye wasn't talking to everybody at that point. He was talking basically to me and his cousin about Christianity. Uh-huh. Okay. This is like 2006, 2007, 2008. Uh-huh. So then as it progresses, he said, I'm going to do a song called I Am a God. What do you think about that? I said, I don't like the idea. He goes, why?
Really?
He said, why? I said, you're made in the image of God. You have godlike qualities, but it's just something that people are going to take wrong. And I remember somebody in his studio said, man, Tim, that's why Ye keeps you around, because you keep it real. You are so right. There's so many projects that never made the light of day, because I had the guts to rough somebody up in private and just say, that's just not a smart way to go. And Ye, at that point, he came back and said, I should have said that different. And I'm really believing God that, you know, for all he's going through now, that he will come back full circle and realize what he's done wrong in this case again.
Wow.
And deal with it. But that, I think that that's true transparency. Like, if you had the disciples, there had to be one of the disciples that said, "Yo, Peter, you probably should have not cut the guy's ear off."
Right.
So, he can't even hear what you're saying now. Like, he can't even hear you cut his ear off.
Tim, you have mentioned Kanye twice in this episode and the last one. And this is not a question specifically about Kanye, but when his name comes up now, the issue of mental health comes up. Bipolar gets mentioned. With your miracle mentality book, your faith in Christ, how do you approach the conversation around mental health in our culture that keeps seems to keep increasing?
Well, this is where I'm at right now. So last night I was hosting with Dr. Amen, as the famous Amen Clinics. Mm. He works with so many stars, so many of our biggest athletes in the world. He's the number one guy as far as what they call brain health. So that's my boy. It was full of celebrities, and I probably interviewed no less than 60 people last night. Mm. So I do that. I'm also the head of mental health, helping in the gaming community. I've been hired by a big gaming community to help so many young people that are struggling because of getting so deep into video games and anxiety and mental health.
Wow.
So I think with Ye is that his mother and I used to have some amazing talks, Donda. There's a real challenge there on the side of mental health. But I am very sensitive to that because I have those challenges within my own family.
Mm.
My own father struggled with depression and anxiety. My own brother struggle with depression and anxiety. So I have a real sensitive spot for people that are struggling with that. So I think that we'll leave the Kanye's words alone for a minute because some of them have been so harsh. But let's say other people that I deal with, some of the things that they say is truly not in their right mind and they're not in alignment with their true self. They should not have said it. Yes, they're wrong. Yes, sometimes there are repercussions, but I think compassion is the key in this case.
Yeah, I think if you're holding somebody down and choking them and wrestling them and trying to bring them harm, if they can get a gasp of air, they're going to say anything to alert you that they're hurt versus trying to say the right thing. They're going to use that air to say whatever they can to get the attention they need to get the healing that they feel like they deserve. So I think that's really what's going on.
You got that right. And, you know, Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up.
Wow.
And then it says, also when someone is cold, make sure someone's there to keep them warm.
Mm.
But part of my strength with entertainers is sometimes I walk in with somebody really well known and hardly say a word. And like they could be on the set of a movie, but they invited me. And I say, you seem like you're busy. I could come back in like 2 or 3 days. And they're like, no, I need you here. It wasn't so much for my words or a scripture or a prayer. They just needed my presence.
That is beautiful right there. Wow, man, that's when you're having an impact. When you show up, you don't gotta say nothing. Hey, but they paid you though, right? You didn't just show up just to be like, you just showed up there and people were.
I just showed up. Now, here's a cool story that Quincy would not mind if I say this, because Quincy Jones has been in my life today.
Quincy
was like,
I can say whatever. Quincy, when he texted me the other day, he said if there was anything that y'all wanted to talk about, that's what Quincy.
Because you know how he gets.
Yeah.
You know how he gets.
Cute. I call
him. When you go up to that Bel Air mansion.
I call him Quick. I don't know what y'all call him. That's why I just call him Quick. That's what we cool like that.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
So I said to Quincy Jones, we were talking about God, and he says to me, Tim, I got to admit, I'm very bothered with God because of things that happened in my life. And we're tight. Like we go at it like brothers. So I said to him, okay, so you're bothered with God. And it was like 12 midnight. It was like 12:08. And he likes to stay up late. So I said, okay, so here's what we're going to do. Where's your lights? Because in these big mansions, man, you don't know how they do their lights.
Yeah.
This is do they do them from their phone?
Right.
It's for real.
Yeah.
So he said, they're just right there. So true story. I turned the doggone lights down to pitch black. And he said, what are you doing? I said, we're going to talk to God. This is a true story.
Wow.
And I said, God, Quincy is bothered with you.
And then you stepped to the side, didn't you? Because the lightning bolt was about to come down.
Yeah, I stepped to the side in case something was going to hit. And I said, so he's bothered with you, and can you reveal yourself to him and give him some answers to these questions on why he feels you let him down? This is a true story. And I heard him say, turn the lights on. Turn the lights on. Little brother, you're tripping me out. Turn the lights on. I said, no, keep them off. And I said, why do you want me to turn the lights on? He said, I feel God.
Mm-hmm.
To me, come on, people.
Goodness gracious, that's money.
This is the God we serve.
Amen.
Show up with me.
Wow.
And for me, when I am down and I'm mad at you and I'm questioning you and you still show up.
Good.
And then he would continue to talk to me about that. He goes, little brother, only you, man.
Mm.
Only you. Only you would be that guy that would turn off my lights.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. Okay, so, I got to go off the cuff.
You got to.
So the off-the-cuff moment, I'm going to go off-the-cuff on. Goodness gracious. It just happened, people. When in the story, Quincy Jones, when the lights are off and he wants him back on because he feels God's presence. Mm-hmm. How many times have you been in a place that was dark and you wanted God's presence and he gave you some instructions, but you wanted to run the other way? Why not be okay in that moment? Maybe you can hear God's voice best in those dark places. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why those dark places keep showing up, so you could cry out to him as opposed to running to something that's been there all the time but's never helped you before. A light switch. He is the light, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. Listen to what he has to say, and immediately the true darkness will go away. It's funny how life works.
That's very, very powerful. And because we're all three of us are artists, and I like you just put another layer to that story. And that's so powerful because I feel like that's where a lot of people are right now.
Man, dude, right. Like that is so doggone powerful.
It's powerful because that's what Jesus, that's one of the I am statements in the book of John, one of those seven.
I'm a
challenge, the light of the world.
I'm going to challenge all my listeners right now. At some point today, some of you guys, just do that exercise. Turn the lights down. I know it sounds like I'm about to start an R&B song. That's not what I'm doing. Turn the lights all the way off and ask God whatever question you have for him.
Yeah.
And just be still in that place.
That's good.
And wait for what he'll say. Wow, all dude. Right.
And what you almost quoted Teddy Pendergrass.
That's right. Turn off the lights.
Turn off the lights.
Oh.
Light a candle.
Oh, that's cool. It's not weird that two dudes are singing to me right now. That's not weird at all.
Tonight,
all
right. I'm in a romantic mood.
Tim, we need you to do the question
that
generator
awesome.
Again. You got to spin your finger there. We got one more question for you. All right. This one won't be about a biscuit. Or Triscuit. There we go.
And it's gone.
And it says, ding, 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 queso.
The question is, if you could say one sentence to every celebrity.
Oh, okay.
And that's all you'd be able to say to them. What would it be?
One sentence.
You were born an original, don't die a copy.
Ooh.
And Mike, the doggone drop.
Okay.
Wow.
It's time to grow your afro back out because you can't copy me.
Oh, please let it go, Mr. Mustache. You are completely awesome, Tim. That's Thank good. You so much. I want to get access to that coach thing so I can have you back on and we talk about it in a significant way. Dude, I am so – I know that you you don't look like it, but I know you're older than me. But I just want to say from a – I'm just going to say this even though it's out of position. I'm proud of you, man. I am proud
I received that because, you know, in this space, I have become like someone who's been around for a while. Like, if, you know, it was me. It was Miles Monroe at one time. It was Carlton Pearson and then Jakes. It was like us four running the show for like 20 years straight. Man. That was before some of the upcomers came up, like Mike Todd and all that. But it's cool to be able to do what I'm doing and express my way, self in the way God's given me, but also see you guys come up. And I just want to say this for a minute because of your comedy. Last week I went and I saw Kevin Hart. And I promise you, knowing I was going to be on your show, I was thinking about you. Because the world wants to laugh, but they also want to learn. And that's also, that's always what you brought, man. You brought the laughter, but the education. And I see you just blowing up in new things. So let's all three of us continue to talk because we got the power. There's not one person we can't get to.
100%.
Not one. I can't think of one. If someone says you can't get to that person, give me 4 hours.
All right. Goodness, great. Yeah, all right. You got Prince walking up to you, whispering in your ear. This brother got access to everybody. I'm not going to say it online, but I'm going to text you right now to make sure I still have, because if my phone number is in your phone still, I'm the one, I owe you $100 because I was the reason.
See?
I was probably the reason. Cool. Did you got your phone on you?
You better put that E in his last name because you might.
Whatever. No, because I'm on my phone doing this show.
Oh.
But I want to say this again about the Forrest Gump thing.
I got a wrong number, don't I? That whole time
he got. Is that I feel like this was just, these are our assignments.
Yes.
Doesn't make us better than the next guy. Whew. We're just doing our assignment. So when I say I could get to who I need to in 4 hours, that's a fact. But that's like a guy who fixes cars saying, yeah, I think I could fix the carburetor.
Yeah.
Because this is awesome. My assignment. Yep. I became good at this.
Awesome.
You two have become, you know, masters at what you do.
I love you, man. Thank you so much. You, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm gonna be in touch for 100% sure, man. You inspire me for real. Thank you.
Both of y'all. Let's do some projects together.
Yeah.
Help
you.
Some people.
All right.
Dope, man.